first thing you think of, blurt it out or raise your hand or whatever, think it in your mind. But we're going to talk about, oh boy, technology. That's what we're going to talk about. Purpose. When you hear the word purpose, what do you think of? Anybody?
Conclusion.
Huh?
Conclusion.
Conclusion?
I said a reason.
A reason?
A goal.
Intent?
A goal.
A goal, okay. All good things. Not all mean the same thing. But I'd like to kind of, where I'm kind of going with it is over here with intent. Conclusion kind of fits, a goal, that type of thing. Your purpose. And some may have, you may have already kind of figured where I'm going. Let's turn to Daniel and see kind of where I'm going with this. And, you know, another thing I thought of as we was talking about, as I was thinking of this, those that have young kids, maybe a little older, Shane, maybe a little older than yours, you're kind of getting there. Some of us have kids that have grown now. Think back. You got two of them. Something's going on. Something happens. And what is said one to the other? You did that on purpose. You meant to do that. You hurt me and you did that on purpose. That's kind of the thought I want to have in our mind today and think about purpose. Let's go to Daniel chapter 1. It fits in nicely what BJ kind of finished up on, talking about going into captivity. This is where we are. The children of Israel going into captivity. Babylon has come in, taken the city, and they're taking all these people back captive. They're speaking a foreign language. You can't understand them. They're taking you back to their land. And they know, based on what Babylon has done to previous people they've taken, what's fixing to happen. They know. Daniel has an idea where he's going, why he's going, and what they're going to do to him, what they want to do. And they're not going to be doing evil things to him. They're not going to be mean. They're bringing him back to indoctrinate him, to bring him in to be a good little Babylonian. That's what they're doing, basically. If you read back in when they actually came in and took, who did they take back? This is the first time they came in. Who are they taking? Who? The elite? The best? They're taking those that can learn, those that can help Babylon continue to be the premier nation. They want to bring them in and indoctrinate them to teach them the ways of their country. Verse 8, as they're leaving, as they're being taken to Persia, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he may not defile himself. Daniel purposed in his heart. What does that mean? Okay. He made it. He knew where he was going. He knew what they were going to do. He made up his mind. I'm not going to do this. Now, what could that have been to Daniel? What could have happened? Dead. Death. You don't go back and play by the rules. They're not all nice and friendly. You don't go in and do what you're supposed to do. Best case, you get sent home back to where things are not so good. Worst case, they just kill you. You know, you're not going to play by the rules. We'll get rid of you. But he purposed in his heart to do the right thing. He made up his mind. And when in the sequence of events does he make up his mind? After he gets there? After he figures out what's going on? Or before? It's before. Before he ever gets there, he's made up his mind what he's going to do. And let's talk about, let's apply that to us. When can we, what can we purpose in our mind to do? And what are some examples of some things that we should do that with? And when should we do it? Any thoughts?
We know our temptations and we should stay away from
them. Okay. I know what bothers me. I know what tempts me the most. You know what tempts you the most. When do you think about how to get out of that? After you've opened that door, gone down the hall, and, you know, the door temptation is done, and you're there, and then do you then go, what do I do now? Is that the time you should purpose in your heart? No.
Shun the very appearance of evil.
Okay. Avoided the very appearance of evil. You know, it says we'll have this door of escape to open. When do you start looking for the door of escape?
Before
you get into the bad situation. It's the purpose of your heart. You know, sometimes we may call it planning ahead. You know, if you're tempted by a certain temptation, you've been there before, right? You probably recognize when you're getting there. And so many times it's like, okay, next time, here's what I'm going to do. You plan. So Daniel had a plan. He was going to go and say, I don't want to do this. Now, did he just say, I don't want to do this, and that was it? And the guy said, no, we got to do it. No, he had gone on and planned even more. If you keep reading, you know, when he told this guy that was supposed to be getting him prepared, and he said, I'm not going to eat any of that. The guy basically said, look, my head's on the chopping block too. If I take you and get you prepared and I put you out before the king and you don't look right, it's my job. So he tells this eunuch, look, let me do this for a week and see how it goes. He had purposed in his heart, but he had also come up with, okay, this is what I'm going to do when I'm asked. He had a plan. You know, you're tempted by the certain temptation. You don't go, next time I'm not going to do that. And that's all you think about it. Perhaps next time I know I need to do this, and I need to go here, and I don't even need to go down this path. I don't even start. You don't just say, oh, I won't do that next time. Next time, you better have a plan to even before you ever start. And that's what Daniel did. We're talking in our Wednesday night class, Nehemiah. You know, chapter 1, these people had come back and told him of the situation in Jerusalem. What was going on? What it looked like? And it devastated Nehemiah. And he prayed to God and said, when I get opportunity, help me. 4 months later, he had that opportunity, right? And the king said, what do you want to do? Nehemiah didn't go, like as Marshall said, hang on a second, let me think about it. No, he had already planned it out. When I get this opportunity to have the chance to go back, here's what I'm going to tell the king. I'm going to do this and this and this and this and this. He'd already planned it all out. He knew how much money he needed. He knew how long he's going to have to be there. He knew when he could come back. He planned it all out. He had purposed in his heart. He had taken care of all the planning before the situation ever came up. Did Nehemiah know the situation might ever come up or not? The king may not have ever noticed how Nehemiah felt. But it was a, if this ever happens, God, if you will give me this situation, I can do it. He was planning for something that may or may not ever happen. Same way with us. We need to plan. You know, I always go back to sports. I'm sorry. That's what I know. That or computers, and I don't want to bore you with computers. Sports. Some of the best coaches plan for everything. Things that may not ever happen, may not happen but once in their career, but they plan for it. You get late in a ball game and you score and you're down by X number of points, they have this sheet that's the go for two sheet. Are you going to go for one? Are you going to kick the extra point or are you going to go for two? It's already planned out. You know what you're going to do. You don't even have to think about it. You don't have to worry about it. You know, first of the season, you already know if I'm down by, 5 points with less than a minute to go, we're going for two, period. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to worry about it. JoJo, playing football. Y'all had y'all's 2-point conversion play, right? I'm guessing. Did y'all have one? When did you practice it? When did you start practicing that? Okay. How often did you use it? Not very much. Maybe never in a season. You may not ever use it in a season. But you knew if you were going for two, we're running this play, and we practiced it every week, once a week, twice a week, whatever. You practice that play for going for two. You may not use it in a season. You may not use it but once in a season. But you were ready for it. You purposed. So you knew when we go for two, it's important. And we got this play down pat. And we may not ever run it any other time during the season because we don't want anybody else to see it. But we're ready. We're purposed in your heart. Does that make sense? You know, you struggle with alcohol. You purpose in your heart how to avoid alcohol. You struggle with gossip. You struggle. Plug in whatever it is. You need to have a plan for how you avoid that. You need to have a plan to recognize when you're approaching. Not when you get there, when you're approaching. That's how you avoid.
Yeah, weren't we talking about being proactive instead of reactive?
Yes.
You know, instead of reacting to issues, we try to be proactive so we, fix those issues or not have the issues.
Yes. Before. You fix it before it happens. We got a group at work that we make fun of them. I'm sorry. Because we're doing stuff, and I'll go talk to this guy, and I say, I need to do this and this, and he'll go, inevitably, no matter when I go, we've got all kind of trouble here. I can't help you right now. We're fighting these fires. That's all they do is fight fires. They're not proactive, as he said. They haven't planned ahead. They don't know what to do when X happens. I guess. I don't know. Either that or it's their way of getting rid of me, one or the other. I don't know which.
James, Satan is very tricky. And we not only have to be prepared for the known out of him, but we have to also be prepared for the unknown. Just like you was mentioning in the sports analogy, before most games, you get to watch the game films of the opposing teams, and you kind of get an idea of what kind of plays they run, but you don't see the entire playbook.
No.
So you've got to be prepared for not only that, but for any other things they may pull against you. And,
yep.
And that's the way a Christian's life is. We know our weaknesses. Satan knows our weaknesses. But I think at times he realizes, I'm not going to attack you with your known weakness. I'm going to attack you with something you're not really aware that you have a weakness of, and we have to be prepared. Mm-hmm.
Or even if it's the same weakness, he attacks us a certain method, and we go, okay, I know when I see this, don't do that anymore. Well, he'll come from the other side in a way that we don't even recognize You know.
I did a sermon one time titled "The Faces of Satan." You know, he's not always that scary-looking creature with the horns and the flaming eyes. A lot of times, he's in the form of your neighbor. He's in the form of your brother, your sister, your mother, your father, possibly even your spouse. And sometimes he's in the form of your own self.
Yeah,
we have to be prepared for all that.
That's right. No, we're good at seeing the bad. Sometimes Satan, you know, you hear the analogy of rat poison. How much bad percentage wise is in rat poison? Less than 1%. It looks, you know, that's why it works. To the rat, it looks real good. It don't look bad. And that's how Satan gets us. This don't look bad until you take it. And then all of a sudden, it wasn't good. Any other thoughts? I don't want this to be a sermon. I want interaction. Let's look at Daniel chapter 6. Move on a little bit. You know, Daniel 1, we're looking at Daniel as a very young man. Probably if he's not still a teenager, he is not far removed from being a teenager. He is a young man. And, you know, you think about, I still got a teenager. You think about a teenager thinking like Daniel thought at this time is impressive. You know, you hope you instill that in your own children to be able to have that kind of resolve when they're off by themselves. I'm sure his parents weren't with him anymore. He was going where nobody knew him. And yet he had the resolve to do what he did. Daniel chapter 6, we're many years later. Much older man. And first few verses, we have these men who don't like Daniel. And they want to take him down. How do they, when they get together and they discuss, okay, we got to take care of Daniel, what is the only thing they can come up with that will get Daniel? His faith. You know, we can't find anything else. We can't go to the king and say he's undermining your authority, he's stealing from you, none of that's going to work. The only way we're going to get Daniel is if we can do something against his faith. So they come up with this to where for this set amount of period that you can only pray to the king. And, of course, again, appeals to the pride factor of the king. Oh, that sounds good. Everybody be looking at me. And so the king signs it. What does Daniel do? Chapter 6, verse 10 in Daniel. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home in his upper room with the windows open. He knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks to God, as was his custom since the early days. When the law was passed, Daniel did what he has always done. He didn't change. His custom since early days. He was doing what he had always done. He was doing what he had always purposed to do in his heart. What he intended to do, his goals. What kept him was his faith, and he continued to do it. He didn't let the outside world affect his worship. Do we let the outside world affect our worship? Can we? We can. Do you let your job affect your worship? Possible. Are there certain jobs that there are certain jobs you cannot have and be a Christian, correct? There are just certain things you cannot do, right? Drug dealer, not going to work. You know. But there are jobs that are not in themselves sinful, but can affect your worship, correct? If you let it. But you have to purpose in your heart not to let it. You have to know, if this happens on my job, sorry, can't do it. Not going to do it. You have to purpose in your heart before it happens. There are things that could happen in this country that could affect our worship. Again, Daniel was planning all this stuff before he ever got there, before it ever happened. He purposed it in his heart before it ever happened. And that's kind of where I want to go with this now. What are some things that could happen in this now to us today that could affect our ability to worship, and what are we going to do about it? Okay, the government. What could the government do? Let's name some things that could happen. And I'm not talking about the overthrow of our country. I'm talking about our country, period, making laws. What could happen? Anybody?
We're already on the edge of it on the teaching of homosexuality.
Okay, teaching of homosexuality. Do you remember about, 6 months, maybe a year ago, there was a big uproar. I think it was in Houston. Pretty sure it was Texas, but I think it was Houston. The mayor sent an edict out to all churches. You have to send me an outline of every sermon you preach every Sunday. You got to send it to me. Why'd she do it? Anybody remember? Anybody remember that happening?
She was of the homosexual agenda. She was lesbian. Her intent was to shut down any preachers that would preach against it.
Exactly. If that happened in Birmingham, Alabama, Jefferson County, what are we going to do? I'll tell you what happened in Houston. Some of them said, I'm not going to send it to you, but I'm here every Sunday. Come on in. We've got a spot for you. You can come listen to everything I say. That was the response of some people. The response of some of the congregations was they complied. They sent it. The response of some is, we ain't doing it. What's the right answer? Does it matter? Okay. As long as they kept preaching the word as the word should have been preached, send it, don't send it. I think even some of the congregations sent her a URL, sent her the link to their through their website, said it'll be here every Monday. You want it, come get it. That's fine. Wouldn't have a problem with it. As long as it does not affect the preaching of the word. You make up your mind, we're going to preach the truth no matter what. Her purpose, as Terry said, was to prevent the preaching against homosexuality. That was her purpose. And she was going to use that information against those churches somehow. What are we going to do? And I think the day is coming, unless things change. What are we going to do is if edicts come down that if you do not have the right thoughts on homosexuality, you're going to lose tax-exempt status. You're going to lose whatever else. Yes. Labeled as a hate group. That's coming. What would we do is if the North Gardendale Church of Christ was labeled as a hate group and we're going to be prosecuted? Daniel made up his mind. He purposed in his heart what he was going to do before it ever happened. We need to purpose in our heart, what are we going to do if this thing that may not ever happen, but what if it does? What are we going to do? What if it's not going that far? What if it goes to the point of any church that does not support homosexuality, does not have a woman preacher, does not bow to marriages that are not authorized by God, that do not go on and name the other things that are going on in the world today, you lose your tax-exempt status. None of what you give to the church is tax deductible anymore. What's that going to do to what you give? Is it going to change how much you give? Make up your mind right now. You got a purpose in your heart before it happens. Right? What Daniel did. Is it going to change how you feel about coming here and worshiping if you're going to be labeled as a hate group? Steve. Prayer in private places. Well, we were at Gardendale yesterday, opening park day, and they led a prayer before festivities started, and someone that I was umpiring with made a comment, they better be careful. You're on city property, praying to God. What are we going to do if they come down and sue? Purpose in your heart before it happens. Because it's coming. Many things like that will be coming. Thoughts or comments? They work. I mean, and you know, his consequences, he was, you know, they thought they had him. They threw him in the lion's den. The king was devastated because the king loved Daniel. King didn't realize what he was doing when he signed it. But in essence, the king signed Daniel's death warrant because without the intervention of God, Daniel's a dead man. You know, thrown in the lion's den, that was instant. And it was only through God that he didn't. You know, if we're labeled, let's go back to labeling as a hate group. It may happen one day. I may not be here. I may be dead by then. I may not. If you're labeled as a group that is a hate group, you may not be able to get a job. Are you working with a company that has government contracts? I was. I got to have a certain security clearance. I may lose that clearance. I lose my job because I can't get my top secret clearance because I'm labeled with a group that's part of a hate group. And you're going to lose your job. What are you going to do? Purpose in your heart now. You got to know. What else? Anybody else got any? And again, like you said, it all goes back to Satan. All he needs us to do is to compromise on one little piece. And we lose heaven. And that's all Satan wants. You know, he's not after the sinners of the world, per se. He's got them. He doesn't have to worry about getting them. He may have to do a little bit of, you know, computer world. He may have to do a little bit of yearly maintenance, make sure he keeps them. But he's after the ones that are God's. That's who he's after.
He just keeps feeding you. Once he gets you to compromise in one little area, he's going to keep feeding you and feeding you and feeding you. Mm-hmm. The next thing you know, you're as worldly as any of them.
Mm-hmm. I was talking with someone one night last week. I don't even know who it was. I was talking about you know, the things that happened in the 50s and 60s and I guess early 70s with the church and where some of those churches are today, some of the things they are doing that when they first took that one little step to doing, you know, where there was conflict between what is now conservative and liberal. When they took that first step, they would have never dreamed to be doing what they're doing today. But once you lose authority, once you step out of bounds of where you get your authority, there is no authority. There's no bounds anymore. You can do whatever it is you want to do because you have no authority for doing anything at that point. You're not worried about authority at that point anymore.
It's kind of like the old terminology. You open up a can of worms, get ready for worms.
Yeah.
Can't get... If you open the door a little bit, that gap's going to start getting wider and wider and wider, and that's exactly what you're referring to.
Yeah. Yep. All right. I may skip one section here because I think I might have already covered. I had 2 Corinthians 9, but I think I kind of I touched on that a little bit, talking about, you know, how much do you give? You purpose in your heart to give. If you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. So let each one of us give if he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or out of necessity. We purpose in our heart. Again, go back to the example of Daniel. He knew what he was going to do before he ever got there. How much do you give? Do you purpose in your heart beforehand to know what you're going to give? Or do you just kind of check and see what you might have in your wallet that day and, oh, I've got to, you know. No, you make up your mind beforehand what it is you give. And as I touched on, whether or not you get that benefit off your taxes should not affect what you give. You purpose in your heart to give to God. And if the day ever comes where that changes, you purpose in your heart what you're going to give to God. That's how it should be. Anything else? All right, let's look at one more passage, Ephesians chapter 1. I want to shift a little bit. Start in verse 3. A little bit of a lengthy reading, but I want to get the context. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the goodwill of his pleasure, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he purposed in himself. He purposed in himself. God purposed. God meant to. When did... He purposed in himself to do what? What was 3 through 9 talking about? What did God purpose? Okay. Our salvation. To reconcile us to God. When did we lose that reconciliation? When did we lose it? In the garden. Dave. Oh, yeah. That's where I'm going with this. Daniel purposed before it happened.
He purposed to reconcile us, but that purpose happened before we needed reconciling, before we were even created.
Exactly.
I think, in a broader sense, he purposed to prepare us for eternal life with him.
Yes.
And it goes back beyond before the fall. I struggle and wrestle with this sometimes. Why in the world would God create imperfect people and go through these thousands and thousands and thousands of
Yes, exactly.
Because he gave man a choice.
Okay,
he
But God knew how man would choose, correct? Because he planned. He purposed in his heart before it happened.
But God can do anything, so he could have chosen not to know.
Yeah.
Man would sin or not.
And God
knows
how
to
choose.
And God
goes back beyond that.
Yeah.
It goes back to the point where what was purposed was the preparation of free will beings.
Kind of goes back to what I said earlier. We have to plan for things that may never happen. All this stuff with the government, you know, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, you know. I don't go down that. These things we talk about that may happen to the Christians may never happen. But what if? That's what we need to prepare for, the what if. God may not have known sin would come in the world. God may not have known, but he prepared for in case it happened. He had a plan. Whether he knew or not, we don't know, but he planned for it. We need to plan for it. Steve.
A lot of times in our lives, we make plans. But if you're smart, you have more than one plan.
Exactly.
And God's always in control. So it doesn't matter whether he knew or not, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He's still going to be in control.
Yeah.
No matter what we do.
Yeah. And You go back to the story with Moses and Pharaoh. Or you go back to, we're going to talk about Esther later, and that's a better example. Esther. You know, it said, Esther, you need to do this to save your people. And she's like, I don't know if I can do it. And she was told, well, that's fine. If you don't do it, that's okay. But God will find another way. You know, you're not the only, God is not completely relying on you, Esther, to take care of this. He's put you in this position to do it. But if you don't do it, God can handle it another way. He's got other plans. He could do it a different way. I'm positive.
Another thing, too, as far as all these things that are going on right now, with the gays and everything, what we've got to watch is God hates sin. He don't hate no individual, but he does hate sin.
Yeah. Well, and
to, I'm telling you, good always is going to rule over people.
God will, in the end, God, Revelation, in the end, God's going to win. But as far as talking about specific sins, there are people all over the world today, there are people all over the state of Alabama, Jefferson County, Gardendale, going down, that are in sin. We don't have to focus on one particular sin. God hates all the sin. It doesn't matter. If you're in a marriage you're not supposed to be in, God hates that sin. Why do we focus on this and ignore that? See what I'm saying?
In every situation, whether we be talking about homosexuality, whether we talk about drinking of alcohol, there's one thing that we can always tell people. Both sides of the argument can't be right.
Yeah.
But both sides can be wrong.
Both sides can be wrong. That's right. All right. Thank y'all for attention.